Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin has poured cold water on the idea, which is reportedly shared by some of his own cabinet colleagues, of implementing tax changes for landlords and renters before the next budget in autumn. He was speaking in the United States and he said, "We've turned a corner on housing and we should avoid knee-jerk reactions to the housing crisis." Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by Paul McAuliffe, who's Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin North West and Deputy Chair of the Housing Committee, and also Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD for Dunleary and that party's housing spokesperson. You're both welcome and thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. Paul, to start with you, there's been so much discussion around tax changes for landlords and property owners and renters too. Dissent among cabinet members, in fact, on what should be done on that front. But Micheál Martin has warned against, and these are his words in the Irish Times this morning, a knee-jerk reaction, and that the budget in the autumn would be the place to do all of this. What do you make of that, term knee-jerk reactions, given where we are?
Well, I think what we're seeing there is what we have seen from the kind of leadership that Micheál provided during COVID and during many other things. He's often against his own backbenchers in the parliamentary party who might be jumping up and down about different things each week. Micheál tends to look at things in the more medium and to longer term. And I think that served the country well during COVID, for example, when we did take that longer term, a more medium term view. And I think it does serve us well during a housing a crisis, because what we need here is a stream of public housing supply to come on. That's the priority. The priority is that public housing supply that was absent for so long, it comes on board. That's what we need to focus on. And look, there is an issue with landlords leaving the market.
Okay.
And I'm on the record.
But it can wait. It can wait until the autumn to be addressed.
Not at all, Claire. No, we need. I think we can be clearer now of what will be introduced in the budget. But let's be clear. Tax changes to landlords alone won't solve the housing crisis, in the same way as public supply alone won't solve the housing crisis. We need to do all of these different measures. Mm-hmm. Housing for All is that comprehensive plan, and so I think we need to stick with it. It is working, and we need to keep delivering.
But to take
on
those
it.
Measures, which you yourself are saying are needed, to take them now, do you think that represents a knee-jerk reaction?
I think doing a tax change outside of the budget isn't the correct way, but I think we can indicate of what we will do. Because I think if people are leaving the market this summer, many of them are leaving because of increased interest rates, for example, where their mortgages might be going up by 400, 500, 600, 700 euro.
Yes.
A tax change alone won't solve that.
Why?
So to be clear about what will stop people leaving the market.
More attractive for them to stay in the market if they're taking that decision to leave? I just don't get the logic of saying, well, it'll be right in October, but it's not right now.
Well, I suppose what we did last year, we made very significant tax changes for tenants. There was €1,000 between 2022 and 2023 tax credit for tenants. We didn't do that outside of the budget. We did it within the budget envelope. There's lots of demands on government for government spending. And before you give anybody a tax break, it has to be done within that process.
Okay, because it's just the right thing to do. It's the way things are done, and we should stick to how things are done, because that's the way it's always been. Richard Boyd Barrett, are you?
Well,
I can't see any other logic for waiting until the autumn in what you're saying.
Because there's a budget process where every department contributes how much they're going to spend, and it's approved in financial management. That doesn't mean that we can't make clear what we will do. And also, Claire, it doesn't mean we're not doing anything else. We have changed housing policy so fundamentally in the last 2 years that last year we built more public housing and provided more public housing than we did since 1975.
Okay, I want to hear from Richard Boyd Barrett on this
and
now.
It's happening because we're making changes.
Are you advocating for a knee-jerk reaction, in the Taoiseach's words?
No, I think the Taoiseach's comments are just absolutely shocking. We have thousands of people facing the prospect of being homeless when they've done absolutely nothing wrong because of the government's decision to lift the eviction ban. Now, those people need absolute emergency, urgent, immediate action. The idea that they can wait until October is absolutely ridiculous. And I find it just unbelievable that the government have made this decision, knowingly taking a decision that is going to leave so many people in a dire situation, and those people right now are absolutely terrified of what's going to happen to themselves.
Richard, let's focus on what we're talking about today, which is the tax changes. So if you are a property owner who has decided either to sell or to move into your property or to move a family member into your property, if the government decided next week to give you a few bob back in some form of a tax break, do you really think that's going to change the minds of all of those landlords who have taken that decision?
No, I'm not arguing for tax changes for landlords. What I am saying is that until we have alternatives for people, the government should ensure nobody else ends up in emergency accommodation. When we already have record numbers who are homeless, emergency accommodation is overrun. And where landlords, in most cases, are evicting people on grounds of sale, the state should step in immediately and buy those properties in order to keep those people in a home. And although the government keep talking about the tenant in purchase scheme, as somebody who's campaigned very actively for several years for the government to introduce that policy, I can tell you it's not happening, or it's happening at a snail's pace. And in many cases, if people are over income thresholds or if there are other peculiar circumstances, these are rolled out as excuses not to buy properties, when what we need is the government to step in all of those cases and buy the properties to stop families being made homeless. So yes, the landlord may be exiting the market, but there's no reason that the home that tenants are living in have to exit the market, resulting in people being homeless.
Yeah, so Paul, this all comes back with the groundwork not having been done in the 6 month period when the eviction ban was in place. And it's interesting to read in the Irish Times yesterday an unnamed minister saying the pressure is going to come on Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue to respond more fundamentally to the wider issue. I'm not sure waiting for the budget is a sustainable position. So there are people within ministerial ranks who believe that something needs to be done now before the eviction ban is lifted.
Well, let's be clear. We're saying that changes to taxes might have to wait till the budget, but we're not saying that anybody who faces eviction right now has to wait until the budget, because there are measures in place which happened during the eviction ban, which means that we can help protect them. What Richard is suggesting is that we delay the inevitable. Those landlords are leaving the market anyway, and we just delay the eviction ban. What we're saying is let's actually tackle the issue and secure those homes for those people. So the tenants in situ scheme was ramped up last October when the eviction ban came in. Several hundred of those are in the process in my local authority alone. If people have difficulty, they should contact their local TDs and their local authority and look for the tenants in situ.
But you know yourself it hasn't been working. And we saw the Irish Times publishing figures on that of 460 attempts that were made to buy, something like 12 or 13 were successful. It's just not working.
Completed. And you know how long it takes to buy a home. Just since February, Dublin City Council has acquired, I think it's 370 homes, are in the process of acquiring 370 homes. So there's tenancies that we are protecting because of the tenant in situ scheme. Mm-hmm. We're also giving people an opportunity to buy, with a new opportunity to buy for tenants who are facing eviction. And we're also giving people protection of a cost rental option for people who aren't eligible for social housing. They're three permanent solutions. And I've had people come into my clinic, Claire, who are devastated by getting the eviction notice. And several months later, we're able to ensure, regardless of where they are on the housing list, that they get their permanent allocation and stay in that home. Now, that is a life-changing permanent solution to the housing crisis, not a stick and plaster that would make things worse, like the eviction ban would have been.
Saying that the eviction ban will end at the end of the month when it's due to end, but that there are solutions in place now and that everything will be fine and people shouldn't worry.
Well, I'm not saying everything will be fine, and there will be cases that where everybody isn't covered. But the eviction ban extends out into June for many people, first of all. We have immediate measures in place. The tenant situ is already up and running since the beginning of the eviction ban. We've increased the income limits for HAP and RADS for people who want to avail of that. And we've brought 7,000 units onto the public supply.
Okay.
So the line has been repeated over and over again that nothing was done during the eviction ban is not true.
Right, Richard Boyd Barrett, tell me whether you accept that there were things done during that 6 month period that means some people will be able to stay in their homes even if the landlord wants to exit the market.
Claire, I directly after this phone call, I'm going down to Dunleary Rathdown, where I'll be meeting with the council with a family who were just evicted, and I was in court with them on Friday from the home they've lived in all their lives, a family with two children. But they're over the income threshold, so they don't get HAP. They're not eligible for social housing. And the council have informed us there is no government scheme to purchase their home because they're above the thresholds. This is a family who've done nothing wrong, paid their rent, paid their taxes, and they are now facing imminent homelessness. And I'm dealing with multiple cases that over the month of April and May are facing imminent eviction. And again, in all cases, the council are saying, the property isn't suitable, it's too small, it's too big, they're over the thresholds. So the purchase option, which is a good option, and indeed we campaigned for it long before the government even came up with it. We put pressure on the government to introduce it, but it's happening at a snail's pace, and there are many people who are not being supported by that option. And it's absolutely outrageous that the government lifted the eviction ban before those options were put in place to guarantee that more children, more families won't be made homeless. Instead, they have cast those people to the wolves. So if they've got these other options, let them put them in place before they take a measure, put in place a measure that is going to lead to more families becoming homeless when we already have record numbers of people homeless.
It's hard to get to the bottom of this because, Paul, you're telling me that if a family came to you in that situation, that you're highly likely, are you, to be able to sort that problem out for them with the solutions that have been put in place. Now, Richard Boyd Barrett can't.
No, so Richard is right that the people most protected by the eviction ban was those people above the income limits. It's something I pushed very hard in my parliamentary party ahead of the ban being lifted, was that we would have a measure in place. And the government has announced that measure. It's using the affordable housing bill that we used last year, the cost rental model, or the affordable rental model, which Richard voted against, by the way. It's using that legislation that's in place already, and we're going to have approved housing bodies that will purchase those homes and effectively have a council home for somebody above the income limits. That's what cost rental or affordable rental is. That measure will be in place. It'll take a few weeks for that to come on. Of the three measures, the tenants in situ is available immediately. The opportunity to buy will be in place by Easter, and the affordable rental will take some time to put in place. But as I say, many people are protected into June.
Okay, but some people aren't.
And
you know, what I've found and what I've heard elsewhere, no coalition TD, Paul, or minister appears to be able to answer the question as to where people will go if they're evicted at the end of the month. No one has an answer to that. Do they go to a Garda station? They can't go to any of those homeless charities because they've been on saying, we have nothing. We've access to nothing. Do they? We have refugees sleeping in tents in Clare. I mean,
okay, well, let's be clear, Clare. The guideline that people should go to the Garda station is a TUSLA guideline as to what might happen in the situation if no emergency accommodation. That's not a recommendation, and it's not a policy. The policy is that we provide people emergency accommodation. Dublin Regional Homeless Executive assured me that when families come to them, they will be housed. So that's the feedback I'm getting from the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive, who has responsibility and to provide emergency
accommodation. Isn't it quite something that you felt you needed to go and ask that question? Will you have beds for people who are kicked out of their homes? Did you have to go and ask that question because you know that's what's going to happen?
Well, I'd ask the question because I know there's a lot of people saying that the government policy is to send people to Garda stations, and that's not the government
so
policy.
So you went and found out that there will be a homeless bed for a family who lose their homes.
Look, families that are facing eviction, I'm not undermining the situation that they're in. It is huge anxiety around it, and it is a very difficult market. And that has happened because we spent 10 years not building public housing when we should have been building them, okay? And look, that is a matter for the governments that were in place then. Now we have built more public housing in 1 year than we did since 1975. That's what Richard Boyd Barrett has been calling for, giving local authorities more power to build more housing. That's what we did last year. We built more public and private homes. Housing for All is a 10-year plan, but in year two of Fianna Fáil being back in government after 10 years out of government, we're starting to see a change. And what I'd say to Clare is, I know that's all cold comfort for many people who are facing the immediate eviction ban, but this isn't a government that doesn't care. This is a government who cares about fixing this problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, we heard Micheál Martin saying this morning that we've turned a corner on housing, and I know some people will argue with that, but he had stats he believes that back that up. But Richard, when it comes to ramping up supply at the moment, could you countenance tax breaks for developers?
No, I see. I think the entire problem is that the government's policy is dancing to the tune of speculators and private developers. And when Paul says there's an increase in social housing output, I can tell you in my area and the vast majority of Dublin, the only new social housing output is coming from private developments where the government gets 10%. In other words, we're completely dependent on what private developers decide to build or very often decide not to build, where they put in planning applications and we have tens of thousands of planning approvals and they simply sit on them until they decide they can maximise the profit from building or in many cases flipping the property and not building at all. So I reject completely that when Paul says we are building. Certainly in Dublin, it is not the local authorities who are building. There's some new social housing supply, but it is entirely dependent on private developers. And this is the problem with their policy. And by the way, it is an accident waiting to happen. Because at any point, those private developers can decide we're not going to build because we don't consider it profitable enough. That's, of course, what's happened in the past.
Well, that's the logic behind arguing for a tax break or some sort of financial help in order for them to finance those social housing units.
No, I think it is the logic for saying the state itself, and in particular the local authorities, have to start to build on a massive scale, and they are not doing it, no matter what Paul says. I can tell you, up to the third quarter of last year, in almost all of the Dublin local authorities, there was virtually no direct local authority build. There was some approved housing body build, but most of it was coming from what are called Part 5s, from private developments. And I would just say lastly, Claire, to be honest, at this stage the situation is so serious. The Raise the Roof campaign have called a demonstration for next Tuesday outside the Dáil at 5 o'clock because the situation is absolutely dire and we cannot allow the government to evict families into homelessness when there are no alternatives for them. And I would encourage people to get on that protest.
So Paul, to come back to you on the issue of tax breaks, like it's clearly not government policy to allow developers to profit from this desperate housing crisis. But there are measures that could be introduced and some have even been discussed at the Housing Committee, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, Claire, but nobody in government is talking about tax breaks for developers. The sector might be talking about it, the media might be talking about it. Nobody in government is talking about tax breaks for developers.
Why not?
Our plan...
If you're in an emergency, surely you have to examine everything.
Yeah, but I go back to Micheál Martin's point. We can't have knee-jerk responses. We have a government plan. It's a 20 billion plan that includes public and private homes. There's a very strong emphasis on the public homes, €4 billion each year. We need to get local authorities and AHBs to deliver what we have assigned to them now. They're very ambitious targets, but last year we built 8,000 homes came on stream. Now, whether Richard likes it or not, that's a number that's true. And that's 8,000 people that will get homes. And we continue with the next year as well. And along with the 8,000 public homes, there was also in total 30,000 homes delivered in total, which was 45% above the target and 10,000 more than the previous year.
But so, given that we're in an emergency, and you conceded that, everybody concedes that we're in an emergency, are we relying on local authorities to be able to ramp up building when we have these developers there who are capable of building and we're saying, well, for political reasons, we're not going to contemplate giving them tax breaks to get these things up off the ground and built?
But what we need is local authorities using construction companies to build homes like we're doing on lots of sites. And I could name 5 or 6 in my own constituency alone, Claire. I won't bore your listeners, but in every constituency in the country, there is public housing sites that are at planning stage and people will see them at construction stage this year. So that is happening. Every time you make a change in the market, it takes a long time to have an impact. Don't forget, the Vulture Fund budget was voted by Labour and Fine Gael in 2013. It only started to have an impact in the market where Vulture Funds were buying up entire housing estates in 2020. What we need to do is stick to the plan. This is like Sláinte Care. Housing for All is there. It doesn't rely on the private sector. It doesn't rely on the public sector. It uses all of the supply measures to bring on supply because that's what people want. They want homes and they want permanent solutions.
So regardless of how bad it gets, we have to wait for the plan to start working.
Well, no matter how bad it gets, we will still need homes to be built, Claire. The only way to solve the housing crisis is to build homes. It's not rocket science. And we need to use every measure to do that. Tax breaks for developers, I believe, will be going back to the days of relying on developers to deliver housing. I don't think that's the right way to do it.
Right.
I think you can do it in a different way, with like Project Tustig, for example, which works with the with private providers to make sure there's viability in their projects. That's not the same as giving them a tax break. That's about making sure sites are activated that otherwise wouldn't. We're doing that.
Okay.
The Land Development Agency are stepping in in many cases where, because of interest rates, private developers can't build.
Okay, Paul,
and
we'll
the
leave
local
it there.
Authorities are there.
Thank you very much, Paul McCall of Fianna Fáil TD and Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD.